Big extra point coming up here. Justin Tucker was 15 of 15 coming into the game. Has had three here today. 18 of 18 on the season.
Yeah, that was covered too. Vaughn's got to get over the top. Took a poor angle.
Tucker is the kicker. Sam Cook is the holder. Morgan Cox, the long snapper for the Ravens. Snap is down and the kick is up. And it is no good.
He missed it.
The kick is no good. Justin Tucker misses the extra point. 24 seconds left and the Saints up 24 to 23.
He missed it.
Unbelievable.
Once again, I'm ignored by my teammates and all my coaches. Go back where you came from, scream 70,000 fans. Well, I know I could win their love back by catching a winning touchdown. But unfortunately, I was born with these very small hands. And I hope that the cameras don't come in too close, 'cause they might see the tears in my eyes as I sit on this bench made of cold hearted wood and the splinters go deep in my thighs. And the towel boy snickers as he walks by the lonesome kicker.
What's up, Who Dat Nation, and thanks for joining us on the Dome Patrol podcast. I'm your host, Jeff, and my drunk skill rating is a zero, but I am drinking a Miller Lite. I have run out of IPAs, and my refrigerator has too many Miller Lites in it, so I'm just going to drink those until I'm done. Yeah, I called Lonnie up, had him bring over the beer boat, and he put some ice in it, and I'm just going to drink some Miller Lites. Look at him, beers. All right. If there's one thing you can rely on, it's the sure-footedness of Justin Timberlake stance moves. But holy shit, in what could have become yet another overtime game in the NFL this season, the Saints were able to shake the gree-gree stick just the right way. And that gave Drew Brees the ability to say that now he has done what only two other quarterbacks in the history of the game have ever done, which is to chalk up a W against all 32 teams in today's NFL. Oh, and he also joined the 500-plus touchdown club. And the offense showed that they can handle the league's best defense by scoring more points in the fourth quarter against them than any team had scored in the entire second half against them. So, put that in your pipe and smoke it. Also, put your seatbelts on, keep your hands and legs inside your earbuds at all times, and enjoy the show. Jason, welcome to the show. What's your number?
I am a zero. I am not drinking. Prepping for my vacation next week, so just taking it easy.
Going to Food and Wine Festival in Disney World?
Yeah, the annual Florida trip. So next week at this time, I'll be doing it from a hotel room.
What, are you going to be recording the podcast?
Possibly. We'll see what kind of signal I get.
You'll just be doing it in the hotel room. I mean, we're not going to record that, though. Damon, welcome to the show. How you feeling?
I'm feeling happy, yeah.
All right. And what are you happy about?
Well, obviously, we had a nice victory. We went into the only team that plays defense in the NFL and came out with a victory.
Well, that sounds like a pretty good game recap.
There are no perfect teams, okay? Look at our schedule coming up. We go to the Vikings. Come back here for the Rams. Then we go to the Bengals. Then we have Philadelphia here. The Panthers twice. We have Atlanta. If this team wins, I don't care how the fuck they win. With that schedule, they're going to be battle tested. You know, we're about to run through the gauntlet. And we don't have to beat everybody 54 to nothing like Alabama does, okay? You know, this is the NFL. This isn't college football. You just have to win the game. You know, you play to win the game. Baltimore, like everybody, is the only team that plays defense. And we went on the road in their stadium, outdoors, because they like to bust Breeze's ass for being outdoors. You know, you can't play outside. It was wind and da-da-da, and we got the victory. We played well enough to win that game. And that's what you have to do. I guess a good, I would think a pretty good Baltimore team.
A very good Baltimore. In a sense, the mirror image of the Saints. It's,
well,
you know, our great offense, their defense is...
Right. Their defense and special teams are both top-notch in the league.
Yeah. It was a the game that everybody predicted it to be, which is the two juggernaut teams to be kind of going punch for punch in a lot of ways. And not necessarily scoring, but at least just the game was a fight on the grass.
Every play was hard. Like every, you know, 2 yard run was a hard 2 yard run. Like they fought to get 2 yards. Like, damn. You know, as you're watching the first half, it's like
the first drive. Yeah, I mean the first drive.
Yeah. Great, I mean, great first drive. Sucks they didn't come away with points, but, you know, that was the kind of attitude they had all game. Went forward on fourth down, continued to run, even though they might get 2 yards, negative 2 yards on a carry. They still committed to the run to try to wear down that defense, because it's better than just sitting back and trying to, you know, giving yourself a chance to get sacked all the time, you know?
And look, before the game, I read this article, you know, they were talking to Cam Jordan. And he had said, you know, all week before the game, Sean Payton really dug into the analytics of the game and of Baltimore and came back with all the, you know, these stats of their, you know, 16-0 at home when they leave out leading after halftime. They're 22-0 after, you know, every time they have 30-plus minutes of possession. And it's all these stats. And Payton, Jordan said Payton told the team, look, they play bully ball. They're bullies. But we're bullies, too. And we're going to go in there and bully them. And that's what you had on offense. Like you said, you know, fourth down, go. Let's go for it. Let's be aggressive. And that's a nice mentality to have.
Yeah, and I like that analogy because it's kind of true for both teams. And I like that personality for this year's team. Because if you think about the 2009 team, and people might start comparing this team to them maybe, that 2009 team felt a little more finesse, whereas this team does have a bit more of a like a grunt and grind it out feeling to it, doesn't it?
Well, also, I mean, we have, I think, still the best run defense in the league, which is just astounding.
Yep.
I mean, I think that the most rushing yards we've given up a game is like 76, 77. Everything else has been under that.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, for as bad as the pass defense can be, for a run defense to be stout, I mean, at least we have that. Because our two-minute defense? I mean, the defense played really well until the end of each half.
Yeah.
It was very frustrating to see. You played so well. And
to give up those quick scores, yes, God bless.
You know, you go into this shit.
Well, you're running a prevent, and you're going to give them yards, and that's fine. But what pissed me off, and this is why I was texting you guys, I hate P.J. Williams as many times as I did, is you know that one play that it was like a little screen pass or something, and P.J. completely missed the fucking
game. Yeah.
Yeah.
He had the chance to tackle him
in the backfield
or at least for no gain or a loss. Yeah, yes.
And
yes.
They end up getting like 30 yards out of it or something.
They got, I feel, that's the one that got them down within the 10-yard line.
Yes, which then led to the touchdown. And I feel if he makes that tackle, they might not score that touchdown. And this is before we knew who Tucker was going to
win. Right, maybe not. Right. And again, that's going into halftime. You're speaking.
No, the end of the game I'm talking about. This was the
end of the game?
Yeah, this
was I thought that was going into halftime.
Okay.
No.
And it was one of those two drives.
Oh, well, you know what? It's not inconceivable that P.J. Williams fucked up multiple times either.
Well, and part of that is something people have been talking about for a while because he's been out, but the effect of the P-Rob injury.
Yeah.
You know, the P-Rob injury is huge because now you've got to rely on P.J. Williams a lot more. And it's like,
you can see the impact of that.
So another fuck you to that fat fuck offensive lineman for Atlanta who just rolled on his fucking ankle.
Fuck you.
Now, can P-Rob come back?
I think he was put on IR, I think, with a designation to return.
Okay.
But he, so that would be like week, 11, 12, 13.
That was just to get a roster spot until he can come back for somebody.
Well, I mean, he may, I don't know how he's going to recover from it. I mean, was it a fractured?
It was a fractured ankle, which broken. But now that I'm thinking about it, I think he had some ligament.
Oh my God! How fat was this guy?
At least 320 pounds. Just the fact that he dove right at his ankle. Not that we had enough reasons to hate the Falcons.
Right. Everybody's gonna celebrate. We love it. Justin Tucker misses the extra point, and the defense is saved. But that was the point I was going to say. Like, I don't want it to be. I don't want to be like a Debbie Downer. I don't want to be a pessimist. But the reality is, the defense lost this game for us. When it comes down to it,
sure,
we would have gone into overtime, and we don't know what the result was. But the one thing they needed to do, they played a good game throughout, don't get me wrong, especially the few drives before then, and the very drive before then, before we went on and kicked the field goal, I think it was, right? And
yeah,
where they made the stop, and okay, great. And then they do this. I mean,
And that's just coaching and scheming. I mean, I know you know, B.J. Williams may leave a little to be desired, but a lot of that's coaching and scheming. Like that last touchdown, I mean, Lattimore was with him. He could just stay with him. No, he left him to go to the safety, and the safety wasn't even close. It's like, what kind of scheme? What, you know?
Well, obviously, well,
but that's execution. That's not the scheme. I mean, yes, Lattimore is supposed to pull off of him and let the safety pick him up. That's Von Bell's fault.
Well, hold on. You don't. I mean, you don't know that. We don't know what.
Yeah, we don't know.
No offense. I mean, you.
Okay, but that's what happened. Okay, Lattimore ran off, and the safety
they
rolled
all,
over to pick him up.
They were not on the same page. And that sounds like a Rob Ryan defense.
Or a Spags defense.
Or a Spags defense. Yeah, I forgot about Spags. Right, that's like a Spags defense where no one knows what the fuck they're supposed
right.
to
do. Nobody knows what the fuck's going on.
Spags!
I see what you did there.
Yeah, you like that? But yes, I mean, I don't know what it is, but damn it, they fucked it up. I mean, they got saved by the greatest kicker in the NFL.
And it's weird. Like the Saints don't win. I mean, this year, that's the second game now where we've won a game, and it's the type of game that they've done nothing but lose the past few years.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, the blocked extra kick in Denver when they rush it and then the guy steps out of bounds. Oh, but he didn't step out of bounds. Like the Saints have been fucked by a lot of shit like that lately. The River City Miracle. You know, can't forget that. So finally, for us to actually get, it was a long time ago, but. For us to get a break like this, and now that's two games where we got breaks with missed kicks, what's the world coming to?
So did you know, you mentioned Cam Jordan earlier, Damon. Did you know he played every snap this game?
Oh, did you say?
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's the first time he's done that this year.
He's a man. Although we didn't get any sacks. But we didn't blitz a lot either.
Dude, Cam
Jordan. Yes, we did. We had a sack.
No, we did.
Yes, we did.
You sure about that?
100%.
Check the stats.
Oh, yeah. You're right. We did get one sack.
No, yeah, right. You did.
Okay.
No, I'm Jason. I could not be wrong.
I was looking for Deuce Windham, who we follow, and I think he's a fantastic analyst, and he tweets about it. One thing he says, going through the tape, interesting note, Ken Crawley was not burned a single time in direct coverage. Neither was Lattimore. The openings in zone or blown coverage is what led to those big pass plays. So,
scheming.
Yeah, there you go.
Boy, fucking DeMario Davis made a great tackle for loss on.
Yes, he did.
Either that third or fourth down, whatever it was. I mean, he shot through there.
He has improved every week.
And that is a good signing.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, I get it. It's kind of, you know, what we're talking about now. We're kind of bitching about, you know, Lattimore and who's the safety? Was it Bell?
Yeah, Von Bell.
Yeah,
it was Lattimore. Okay. And I said, so, you know, you're going to have screw-ups. You know, you're going to have, I thought it was this, I thought it was that. You know, as long as it's not every play, that's fine.
But not on that play.
What do you mean? You should not have it on that play.
Most important play of the game. Yes, the most important play of the game.
True that.
You're supposed, that's when you're supposed to be the most focused.
Correct. That's when you should write. Double check or make sure right. Or make sure
champions, like you want to be the best and you want to be the champions. They're the ones who step up in the crisis moment.
Right. And look, like I'm saying, perhaps you add something in there that, okay, look, before we break the huddle, everybody, you know, the safeties, you ask, you know, I don't know, you know, make sure everybody's on the same page.
Right.
But my point being that the defense has improved a little bit every game. Every game, you know, when it's not the same defense that sucked it up against Tampa Bay and Cleveland.
Right. And you know, so, the other side of it, it might not be as much as this. I mean, at the end of the day, Baltimore was playing football too. Their offense,
right.
They're paying attention. Right. They're well coached. They very well could have seen something all game and been prepared and ready. You know, they're like, hey, this little bump off, and if they're running that coverage, he's going to be open in that spot. You throw it. I mean, they could have been prepared for that, and they could have set us up for that. You know what I mean? I mean, there's so much more at it that we might not be thinking about, that it's not that our defense deserves to be flogged or tarred and feathered for it.
Right.
So calm down, Jeff. Quit ragging on the defense over this shit.
Yeah, right. Let's move on to the good stuff.
You know? All right.
So obviously, you listen to the podcast. You know how we won. Justin Tucker missed the extra point.
You almost said Timberlake, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to think about it.
Timberlake on the ring.
But yeah, if you watch his reaction, and I texted all this during the, you know, right after, he was the most shocked person of anybody that he missed it.
Right.
You know,
well,
I mean, we've all seen kickers miss, and correct me if y'all know one, but I've never seen a kicker shocked he's missed. I've seen disappointment.
Yeah, he just puts his head down.
Sadness.
Do you think
and
the wind?
I don't know. I don't know. But
well, remember, either the first field goal or
yes,
the first extra point.
Yes,
I mean, he almost missed that.
Yes, you are correct, Jason. I meant to bring that up. Thank you. You are correct. That first, it was a field goal because they scored a field goal first, and then we scored a touchdown.
Okay.
Right. Their first field goal, right, because it was 3-0, 7-3, 10-7. But right, so you're right. He almost missed that field goal, too.
And it did kind of the same thing. It started, it kind of went out to the right, and it
like
just came back in.
Like a slice
and
golf.
And they showed his reaction to that, too. He was shocked about that. The wind, that's what I'm saying. The wind was, I mean, they talked about it before the game. I don't know, like on the radio, Zach Strief and Deuce were talking about the wind in the stadium was, I mean, it was swirling. It was swirling, they were saying. Like, if you're like below this elevation, the wind was blowing, you know, 20 miles per hour from, you know, east to west, and then above that elevation, within the stadium, like on the top, like above the...
Well, so if anybody can be able to deal with it, that's his home stadium.
Well, he said one of the hardest stadiums to kick it. They asked him, like, what's the hardest place to kick? And he said home, because it's always windy over there. They're a coastal city. The stadium's very close to the bay or to the ocean or whatever is over there, the body of water that's nearest... About, you know, maybe there's a bay, I don't know. But either way, yesterday's game in particular, though, the wind was blowing left to right when it low, and then like where the terrace might be, it was right to left or something. So they were explaining that to say that the wind is actually literally swirling in the stadium, which means and they said that before the game ever started, which means the kicking the ball in this game is going to be very tricky, very difficult. So that could also play into why Sean Payton called go for it on the fourth downs, because he didn't want to kick. Why risk it?
Well, luck was perfect. So.
Well, of course.
3 for 3 and 1 field goal.
That's right. Now, let's move into look at him tweets. So our first tweet comes from Mordecai, who said, that was my first ever Saints NFL game. So his first NFL game, first Saints game. And what a first game it was. I got to see Breeze 500th, Breeze beat every team, and Tucker miss his first extra point in a super close and exciting game. Hope I can travel to New Orleans next season to watch a game in the Dome. So yeah, Mordecai, and he tweeted a picture from his seat as well. So
that's awesome. And like, it's always fun when you go to a road game and they win.
Absolutely.
So much fun.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. I only know what that feels like once.
It was fun.
Yeah. It was, I think.
You know, I went to Baltimore in 2010, and we lost. Had a good time until then, and then the game just...
All right. And then James from the UK podcast, Saints UK podcast, says, was the win against the Ravens one of the best road wins in the Peyton Breeze era? If not, what's better? That's a tough one. It's been a long, many, many years, many, many games to think about.
Right. I mean, obviously for what it meant, being that, you know, Sean Payton, one of the teams Sean Payton has never beaten that he's played. You know, Sean Payton has now beaten every team he's played as a head coach because he's never played us, so he can't get the, you know, the round robin.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, this is a hard-fought game against a tough defense.
It was a hard-fought, right, against a very, very good team.
I mean, you could say the Miami game in 09 just because they were down 24-3.
Right, right.
Yeah, you know, that was a huge comeback.
Yeah. And the confidence that gave him for the year.
The Dallas game in 06, I know I go back to that game a lot, and I know it wasn't a close game, but just the domination you put on, and they kind of put us on the map. It's like, hey, wait a second. We got something.
Yeah,
in terms of tough grind that I, you know, I mean, I can't think offhand, but I'm sure there's.
Yeah, I kind of look at it like gotta be something. I don't know if I would put this game as the best. It's among some of the most memorable, but that doesn't mean like when I think of the question, I think of it more like, did we play our best road game? And no, we didn't. We played tough. But really, it wasn't until the fourth quarter that we actually put it together and did something. So it was three quarters of, shit, man, like, we may not win this game, you know. And granted, the Miami game, like you brought up, it was similar, like, for a couple of quarters, but it wasn't up until the fourth quarter. It was like the right before halftime that we started turning around with Breeze's
dive. We scored one touchdown before that. We were still down by a lot.
But it was that, trailing that touchdown fourth that triggered the comeback. The Dallas game was just outright awesome. So maybe the Dallas game you're talking about is the best.
It was a lot more fun because a lot less nerve-wracking.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All right, so next tweet comes from Brandon Guidry. He says, yeah, this is Brandon Guidry's impression of Justin Tucker. Yeah, I missed a kick, but at least the Ravens didn't blow a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl.
That's a good
one. There's that one. We got now Big Easy Mafia UK. Did Peyton get too greedy on the third, fourth down on the opening drive? So that third down that they went for it?
All right. Well, I think, again, we answered it by what he had told the team. And even Peyton said, you know, if you listen to the press conference, in hindsight, yeah, probably stupid. I should have taken the points. But, look, it's a game. You have to go in the moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In for a penny, in for a pound. I mean, we've gone for it this many times, but hell, we might as well give it a shot. And
yeah,
I didn't like the play. I don't mind the decision.
And I don't even mind the play call. The play. I don't like the execution.
Well,
I don't know any Saints fan that would. All right, so now we have a new segment within a segment. So this is where every week it seems like it's happened, and so it's probably going to happen that we're going to get a tweet about Taysom Hill within Look at Him Tweets. It's the inception of segment, the segment within the segment called Taysom of This. So let's say this. And it's where we read the Taysom Hill tweet of the week. So Taysom of This comes from Big Easy Gaijon. And he says, the NBA has a sixth man of the year award. I think it's time for a 12th man of the year award. Taysom Hill should win it.
I mean, it's kind of amazing. You know, he only rushed six times the other day, but so many rushes, like he gets the ball. And it's like, oh, shit, he's going to be stopped. And somehow he gets 3 yards.
Okay.
Like, he looks definitely stopped, and then somehow he makes his way in.
Football, he is a football player. He is a football player, man. He deserves to be in the NFL doing what he's doing. I'm waiting for two things. I'm waiting for them to let him throw the ball. Do you ever think that will happen?
Yes.
I think at some point we're going to pull – because the defense is going to have so much tape of him, and it's going to be either him running or giving the ball away.
Right,
at some point, they're going
to
pull the fake because the receiver is just going to be open.
I could see even a two-point conversion where he throws it to Breeze for the two to win the game. Or a touchdown.
I think whoever's covering Breeze, is paying extra special attention to him because he said, I'm not going to let Drew Brees catch a goddamn ball. You know? Because trust me, these players, when they, you know, when they do something like when Darren Sharper, was it Darren Sharper that let that quarterback run him down in 2009?
I thought it was Malcolm Jenkins.
It was Harper. Right. But anyway, my point being is that when they do stuff like that, they hear it from their buddies. Just like we do. We're breaking each other's balls. I mean, you know, and we know better than to do something to give a buddy an opportunity to break the ball. Right. You know, and so, no. So I think that they watch Drew Brees extra special because I don't want to see that on ESPN for the rest of my life.
Right, yeah. So there you have it, Taste Some of This new segment. So we're looking forward to you guys who's listening here. Who's going to be the featured Taysom Hill Tweet of the Week next week? Okay, the next one comes from Neil, and now we're kind of transitioning into general season stuff. He says, this is one hell of a roller coaster ride this season, talking about the way the games have been going. This is the second game. The Falcons game came down to overtime, right? The nice. Washington game, was it the Washington game?
No, we beat
we beat it pretty good.
That's right.
The Cleveland game came down to the end.
Mm-hmm. Not the same as the 09 season where we're blowing teams out. Damon, I think you had mentioned that. But, hey, you get out there, you win your damn game, and that's what matters.
That's
right. Next tweet comes from DJZ. It says, you know, if you throw out the first game of the season, the Saints defense has given up less than 24 points per game. That's not terrible.
No, it's all right.
Really, against Atlanta, we didn't let Atlanta score more.
Oh, yeah, games? Yeah. Well, he's talking about
average. Yeah.
Oh, average, right. Yeah, no doubt. No,
24 no, per game, and the offense should be able to win with that.
Right. Yep, no doubt. Yep. No doubt. Well, and I think, and look, I'd like to know what it was. If you take out Atlanta, who scored 40 or 39, and Tampa, right, those first two early games, if you take them out.
Well, that's almost half the season. You can't really take them out.
Third, I mean, but, you know, but again, those were outliers, you know? I mean, Tampa Bay was playing stupid first game of the year. Atlanta has an offense. You can't, don't ever. We don't like, but again, they have an offense. But I agree with the sentiment that, yes, I think this defense is not as bad as their statistics show.
They can only start forcing a little more turnovers.
Nice point, Jason. You know, very good point.
That's something
five turnovers in seven games.
Yeah, it's not good enough.
That will not cut it. Boy, if we can start getting some turnovers, some extra, you know, what does that do? The turnovers, that's like the fake punt and the going for it on fourth down. It gets Drew Brees another possession of the ball.
Yeah.
And that's what you want. That's what this team needs. Put the ball in Drew Brees' hand.
Or Taysom Hill's. And the average, if you remove the Tampa and the Falcons game, is 19.5. So, I mean, it doesn't move it too much even, but it does keep
four and a half, under 20. 4.5 points, I mean, you know. But under 20,
yeah.
No, that's where you want to be. So, again, I know you can't remove them. There were games. They were played. But you're going to play good team, you know. And like I just said, I don't think our defense is as bad as the statistics would have you believe. That's just my opinion.
Yep.
Tell me to go fuck myself. I don't care.
Yeah. All right. And that's going to take us out of Look At Him tweets and into Pick 'em.
Stand up and shout.
All right, so man, I don't know how you keep doing it, but Jeff has another
winning.
It's a third straight week of 4-1. Jeff goes 4-1 again.
Oh,
that's 12-3 over the last 3 weeks.
He went 4-1. The only loss was the Chargers, which we all lost. Damon went 3-2. He lost Philly as well as I did. And I went 2-3. The other game was Chicago.
Yep.
So
it's a good thing I went back and changed my Carolina pick.
I mean, you still have the lead, but yeah, it worked out for you.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
Fucking Carolina, man. Fucking Philly.
I knew it was going to happen.
What the fuck are they doing? It's so aggravating. That's two wins that Carolina pull out their ass.
Yeah. That's why I knew it was going to happen, because we didn't want it to happen. All right. In the larger league, you got Life of Ty holding on with a 765 winning percentage, followed by Saints Fan UK at 759. That's a 26-8 versus 22-7. Who Dat Fits in third place, Ryan Angier, Dave Brink, Me So Mad, Jacob, Andrew, and me. So me and my boys are all, they're beating me by just a little bit. Then you got Big Easy Guy John, Emmanuel 80, B. Bradley Nola, Preston Allen, Saints Europe, DJZ Wheels, Todd Bourgeois, EJ, Who Dat Fish, Ash, Davis Douglas, Who Dat Chris, Bull Smith, Dr. Who Dat James, Ben Wright, Clown Baby, Eric J. Bird, Wayno, Christian Mino, Fuck the Falcons, Ryan Cummings, Tom Ensign, Alex Barbie, Giovanni Turner, Matthew Pryor, and then Damon with the 529 record. Chris McGuire, Gerald Booty, then we have Greenbaum and Doug, but Greenbaum just a hair above Doug. Josh Otter, Mordecai, Neil, Desi, Random Thoughts, Jason, Sanctuary, Triple D, Kennels, and San Hobbs. So, Jason, you are fourth to the last.
I may as well just shoot for the bottom now.
Yeah, just you don't have to try.
It's
gonna happen.
Nope, this is where I finally start to make my move. Remember when I said it was last week? I was lying. It's this week.
Are you gonna wish for like a magical comeback while you're in the Magic Kingdom?
Ooh. I do plan to bring my pick'em sheet with me, so maybe I'll get some pixie dust sprinkling on there.
Some pick'em dust.
Some pick'em dust, yeah, I like that. All right. First game, we have another London game, which I'm not sure what time it is, but I did enjoy getting to wake up this past Sunday and the game was on at 8:30. Every London game should be at that time.
I do agree with you there.
But we have the Philadelphia Eagles coming off a choke job loss to the Panthers. Are playing the London Jaguars. Jacksonville Jaguars are slipping, though. I mean, they're 3-4. They look like shit. Blake Bortles got benched this week. But Blake Bortles tends to play well in London for whatever reason.
Home crowd.
I guess, yeah. And Jacksonville is getting 3.
You know, I'll go first, and I will take Jacksonville.
How did Carolina do what they did?
I didn't watch the game. I think it was the same time. I don't know if I was watching something else.
They scored 21 points in the fourth quarter. It was
it felt like a defensive break by the Eagles.
But the Eagles, I mean, the only Eagles scored 17.
The entire game.
But the Eagles only were able to score 17 also. I mean, right. What I'm trying to figure out here is, was it a bad day for the Eagles, or are they struggling this year?
Well, the Eagles are definitely struggling this year.
They are. I mean, Wentz is still coming along, but he threw for 300, but they can't run the ball now. I mean, Jay Ajayi got hurt, and they can't run the ball. Right. So that's been kind of killing them.
Yeah, but Jacksonville, they do have a decent defense, don't they?
I mean, we think, but I mean, I don't know. They've definitely struggled. In all these games, London still has yet to get a game with two teams with winning records. I'll go Philly just because, I mean, Blake Bortles sucks.
Excellent. I made the right decision.
I'm taking Philly. I mean, they don't have Bortles or Fournette.
Well, Bortles is...
Bortles
is going to start.
That's what I meant.
I meant
they have Bortles and they don't have Fournette.
Yeah. All right, our next game, the Baltimore Ravens coming off a crushing home loss to our Saints. Travel to Carolina to play the Panthers, who... once again, pulled a win out their ass at the end. This game is in Carolina, and the Panthers, this is kind of crazy, the Panthers are getting 1. I'll go first. I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. I think the Ravens are going to handily win this game.
Not footily?
Oh, no, of course not.
Give me the Panthers. Fuck it.
Yeah. All right, our next game. This is an interesting spread here. The Green Bay Packers coming off a bye. Travel to Los Angeles to play the undefeated Rams, the last undefeated team left in the league. They had a nice easy win against San Francisco this week. Supposedly, this is the biggest underdog that Aaron Rodgers has ever been in a game. The Rams are favored by 9.
What?
Wow.
Damn.
Gavin, you're trying to go first.
Is Green Bay having trouble scoring this year?
Yes, they have, because Rodgers, he's dealing with a knee injury.
And the receivers have been banged up, too.
Yeah. Yeah, the Packers are not a very... They're not a very dangerous team, or they're a dangerous team but not a good team, however you look at it. You know, I do not feel like the Packers are a Super Bowl contender this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But they can play well and beat you.
I'm going to go with Green Bay. It's too many points to not take.
I'm going to do the same.
Give me the Rams.
Ooh. Because you believe it or because you just have to?
I believe. I mean, I don't think Green Bay's that good. I'm shooting. Or it could be all of the above. And our next game.
We will have separation this week.
Yes, yes. The Seattle Seahawks, coming off a bye, travel to Detroit, play Lions, who beat they beat Miami this week, 32-21. Looks like they may have finally found a running game with Kerryon Johnson. He rushed for over 150 yards, the first time any Detroit back has done that since 2011. This game is in Detroit, and the Lions are favored by 2.5.
I'll go first again here, and I will take the Lions to beat the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm with you. You know, the Lions earlier this year beat the Patriots, and everybody got up, and they lost a couple of games. But they have a winning record right now, and I think they are, a decent to middling team.
They can put it together. Yeah.
Right, and they're at home, so I'm going to.
I'm going to make it the Motown Menage a Trois.
Damn. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Only one Menage a Trois this week.
That's it, and now our shitty game of the week.
Here we go.
Of shit car, I got a piece of shit car. That fucking pile of shit never gets me very far. My car's a big piece.
And boy, is this game shitty. For this one, we're gonna go with the San Francisco 49ers. Traveling to Arizona to play the Arizona Cardinals, who got destroyed by Denver last week on Thursday night. Patrick Peterson apparently wants out of Arizona. They don't want to trade him. Mickey, I do whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. Because that is the one spot. But somehow, Arizona is favored by a point.
They are favored by a point?
Arizona is favored by a point.
Well, give me the 49ers. I can take the 49ers and a point? Hell yeah. Only because it's against
division.
Yeah, these.
With Patrick Peterson disrupting the locker room about asking for a trade, on top of the fact that
the Cardinals are just a very bad team. San Francisco, even after they've lost gentleman Jimmy G, they played competitive in a couple of games.
Right.
Yeah.
You with us?
Now, Arizona is an attractive pick. I think that you probably...
Well, Arizona beat San Francisco the first time they played 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or 3 weeks ago.
What was the score?
They won 28-18.
10-point victory.
Yeah, give me the Cardinals.
All right. That's your pick-ems for the week. Don't forget to tweet them in. We got everybody caught up this week. Now we will move into Saints Preview.
this week we play Sunday night, so that'll, you know, you can enjoy the games during the day.
Well, I'll be enjoying the Magic Kingdom during the day.
Well, whatever you do, whatever. Right. No, that's good. You can enjoy the Magic Kingdom and then come home. Right.
And watch the Saints get the revenge against the Vikings, even though Sean Payton says there's no revenge factor bullshit in this game.
So, look, you know, the thing about this guy, this will be the third time in a row that we played the Vikings on a national stage. We opened last year on Monday night against the Vikings, only two teams playing. We closed last year at the playoff game against the Vikings. And now here we are one more time against the Vikings on the national stage. Obviously, from what I just said, we played them, this will be the third time in a little over a year. I mean, or a little under a year. So we know the team going, we know the stadium. There should, there really shouldn't be any kind of nerves or anything that would mess us,
Shouldn't be, and they're a little banged up. They're missing some guys, and another couple guys got hurt this week. I think Xavier Rhodes, their top cornerback.
Right, they have a better quarter. They have a better quarterback.
Yeah. Kirk Cousins is better than Keenum.
Right.
Now, better quarterback. Marcus Williams got dinged up at the end of the Ravens game, so hopefully that's not serious. I'm sure we're going to see that god-awful bullshit miracle play a million times this week.
No, we won't, because I ain't going to look at it.
Right.
What are you going to do when you're watching the game? You just going to look away?
Yeah, close my eyes.
Okay.
Every time they bring it up, I'll go get a beer.
But they're, they had a slow start, but they won a few games in a row. What are they, 4-2-1 now?
Yes, they are.
Okay. But, I feel, after going on the road and beating the Ravens, I feel pretty good about going into Minnesota because they're not, even though they have won a few games, they're not as good as they were last year. Dalvin Cook is still very banged up.
Also, we're in a dome, so the elements will not be a factor. No swirling wind as we just go.
Yeah, but that helped us last time.
Well, it'll help our offense put up more than 24 points.
This is true.
Yeah, so I think our offense should be able to move the ball. I guess, Minnesota's only favored by 1.5.
Is this another kind of establish the run kind of game in order to keep the ball out of their offense's hands, or is it just put up some points and try to win a race?
I think it may be one of those type of games. Adam Thielen has caught 100 yards in every game so far this season, I believe.
If we play man, he won't catch shit, but we call a zone, he's going to get a touchdown. 80 yards.
So I guess that'll be the question.
No.
You stick Lattimore on Diggs, you stick Lattimore on Thielen.
You stick him on their best receiver. Don't get sucked into this. Diggs is the guy simply because he's the one on the highlight.
No, I'm not. I mean, they're both very talented.
I mean, yeah, he is, but if Thielen is the hot hand for the one end, then you put Lattimore on him and you trust your guys to cover Diggs.
And Crawley did have a decent game this week, so.
Yeah, in man-to-man coverage, Crawley don't give up shit. So, fine.
In man-to-man coverage?
In man-to-man coverage against Baltimore.
Well, against Baltimore, right. But that's not necessarily the case. True. He got burnt bad man-to-man in the early game.
Against Tampa, yeah.
Against Tampa and against Cleveland.
Well, then we're fucked.
Okay, you have to. Well, it just doesn't matter what happened last game.
It does. What have you done for me lately? That's how it works. Right. I mean, Crawley is not Mr. Defensive Player of the Year, but what's your other option?
And it's going to be Crawley. So just continue to do what they've done and stop the run and hope for the best in the secondary. At this point, it's kind of all we can do.
How's their offensive line? You think our Cam Jordan and Davenport and...
I think we should be able to get pressure because, I know they've got several injuries along the offensive line.
Right.
So, I know we didn't get a ton of pressure this week, but that shouldn't be a problem this week.
So, score predictions.
Ooh, man. I will go with 31-23.
All right, Damon?
38-35.
All right. I'll say 34-23.
I hope you're right.
Well, yeah, I hope any of us are right.
Yeah, you're right. I'll take a 3-point victory. Okay.
Right. The good thing, the main point is that we go into Minnesota and beat them so that their fans experience the loss at the hands of the Saints like they should have many months ago.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I mean, you know, Breeze had one of the comebacks for the ages that was ruined by that final play. But, I mean, their defense was a lot better last year than it is this year. So I'm very comfortable with our offense coming in. I'm assuming Andrus Peat is going to be back in the lineup playing. So I guess we should be relatively healthy.
We actually have a little bit of time if you want to go maybe like a 2-minute, 3-minute drill on it.
Sure.
But let's do some
I won't
Pelican.
Be as bad as the Saints defense.
Lunch!
Win any way they can.
You're going to win.
Yeah. Yeah, pass the ball, final casting call. First of all, verbal basketball. Off the glass, smash your jaw. Too fast for y'all. You might take a nasty ball.
Yeah, so we got two games in the books right now. The Pelicans are averaging 140 points a game, and they're sitting there 2-0. Beat the Rockets and the Kings. The Rockets was a really good win. They were in the Western Conference Finals last year. You know, the Kings suck, so you may kind of think that's not a big deal, but the Kings did beat Oklahoma City last night. Look, this team looks like they really are gelling well together. The pieces fit. Randall's been great. Mirotić has been on fucking fire to start the season. And it seems like this could be legit. I mean, I know it's two games. You don't want to overreact, but Jesus, they look really good.
Look, I think the injury to Boogie Cousins was a blessing in disguise, and I think it's addition by subtraction.
Yeah, and I
think he's a malcontent. He's been that way ever since he's been in the league. And I think we play better. I think this team worked better and played better without him.
Yeah, he really didn't fit that well. I mean, to me, like, Julius Randle fits a lot better because, you know, he does what the offense is designed to do. He's the passer, he's going to pass it, whereas every once in a while, Boogie would just take the ball and be like, I'm just going to do this, I'm going to dribble and I'm going to drive, and that's what I'm going to do.
Right.
And, you know, he freaking led the league in turnovers while he was playing here. So the fit with these guys is a lot better, and everybody's like, oh, we're going to really miss Rajon Rondo. Well, Elfrid Payton's been pretty good these first two games.
Yeah, and remember, it's only playoff Rondo. You don't miss him during the year.
Right.
With playoff Rondo.
Well, yeah, regular season Rondo punches guys in the face.
Right. Unfortunately, there's 82 games before we get to the playoffs. So
yeah.
We'd like you to participate in those also.
Peyton will at least play defense.
Right. Right. And so, okay, you made a reference to the Chris Paul 2X Pelicans Hornets violence this weekend where Rondo, I don't know, punch Paul or punch Paul Rondo first.
Supposedly Rondo spit on him, and then they punched each other.
All right.
Yeah. But anyway, so we got another Pels game tomorrow against the Clippers, which I'm going to, and then we got a game Friday night and a game Saturday night. But it's really important to get off to a hot start.
Absolutely.
Because after, you know, I mean, the Clippers aren't that good, and then Friday I think we play maybe Brooklyn. But then Saturday we got Utah, and Utah's a good team. That's going to be a tough game. But then after that, I think we go on the road, play like San Antonio, maybe Golden State, Portland. So we're going to have a little tough road stretch after this. But all I can say is they look really good right now. It's very encouraging what we've seen so far.
Oh, right.
The opening night victory and the butt-whipping that they put on Houston was very unexpected.
Yeah, like I thought they could go in and win. I did not expect them to do that.
We finished the season strong last year. We, you know, won a series. Okay, then we went up against Golden fucking State.
But hey, look, if Durant gets hurt or Curry gets hurt, it's sad that that's what we have to hope for. But
yeah, that is true though, and that happens sometimes. All right. Anyway, that's all the show we got. We're gonna thank our loyal listeners for downloading. All right. Thanks all. That's all the show we have for you right now. We're going to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and telling all of your friends about the Dome Patrol podcast. You can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast. And if you don't listen to us on your podcast app, there's the old-fashioned way of listening to our show, Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Bye-bye, Justin Tucker, Extra Point Donkeys.
Good night, Hoodat Nation.